If not, if you have your Bibles and would like to turn, we want to start out reading tonight in Lamentations. Lamentations, the third chapter, is where we want to begin. And we want to begin reading in the 19th verse. Lamentations, chapter 3. Verse 19. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust. If so be, there may be hope. I need to stop reading there, and that's reading Lamentations, the third chapter, verses 19 through the 29th verse tonight. And if we had a title of our message tonight, is Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Now, I know that's hard for us to understand, and it's hard for us to do. I'm glad as a little 7-year-old boy that I understood what waiting on the Lord really meant. That God convinced me and let me know that I was a sinner in need of a Savior, and I waited for Him to save me. Now, when we're waiting on the Lord, that doesn't mean we're twiddling our thumbs and just expecting God to hit us upside the head with salvation. And salvation, I don't believe, comes to us unknowingly. I don't think it's something that just gets spurned upon us without us desiring for it and seeking for it. But salvation is only brought out when someone is waiting on God and trusting in God for that salvation. I'm glad to know that we can try all we want to try and work it and try to make salvation happen, and we can try to make things happen in our lives. But if we really want to see God work, the key ingredient is waiting on Him and trusting in Him for what He wants in our lives. Now, that's hard for me to understand. It's hard for me to comprehend. But I'm glad the Lord has made me to wait for some times in my life. Even as a 7-year-old boy, I was saved the night that I came under conviction and realized that I was lost. But I had to wait upon the Lord and trust in Him. Now, I want you to understand what wait really means. And it's not just sitting around just waiting for someone to hit you upside the head. I want you to explain tonight with the help of the Lord. Webster's 1828 dictionary says, to wait means to stay or rest in expectation. That's what God wants from His people, and that's what He wants for lost souls. In order for them to be saved, I believe, at least the way it was for me, you've got to expect to be saved. You've got to trust that you can be saved, and expect that if you meet the conditions of a broken heart or a contrite or crushed spirit, and you turn everything over to God just as He tells you to do, if you're willing to forsake father, mother, sister, brother, lands, country, even your own life, if you're willing to forsake those things and you're trusting and resting in the expectation that God alone can save you, you will experience the salvation of God. The Bible told us there just a few moments ago, it's good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. That's what God has called us to do, and He's asking us to do, to stay or rest in expectation, to stop or remain stationary. I like that. When a lost person realizes that they're lost, there's no turning back, and all they can do is stop in their sins and trust that Jesus Christ is the only Savior that they have. There's nowhere to turn back. It's just go towards the Lord. But you've got to stop and realize the condition that you're in. Stop or remain stationary till the arrival of some person or event. You know, there's been people that have been looking for my Savior for quite some time before He ever came into this world. You know, even now as we live and breathe today, we're looking for our Savior to come back and to take us home to be with Him, those that have been saved. But I want to look, if we can, at some scriptures that let us know about those that were waiting. And they were patiently waiting. They were expecting a wonderful thing to happen because they believed the preacher's report. The Bible says, "Who hath believed our report?" Not everybody's going to listen. But you know, there was a couple of different folks that believed in the report of the Lord, that there was going to be a root to come out of the seed of David, that He was going to come, a root out of a dry ground. They believed Isaiah's report about that one that was going to come, and His name should be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, that there was somebody that was going to come and the government would be upon His shoulders. I'm glad to know that Jesus had been prophesied about. This man was there in the Garden of Eden. There was a beautiful picture there from every place in the Bible. You can read and look and see Jesus and Him being portrayed and pictured, because the Lord, I believe with all my heart, wanted His plan of salvation even to be easily understood and easily seen. Even in the very beginning, He wanted it to be understood, just the same way He does tonight. In Luke, the second chapter, our Lord Jesus had been born of a virgin birth and overshadowed by the Holy Ghost and brought into this world, came forth as a little babe. And there was some that had been waiting on a man, it says, to wait till the arrival of some person or event. And I'm glad to know that that's what they were waiting for. It says in the 25th verse of 2nd of Luke chapter 2, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him." He was waiting. He was staying or resting in expectation of what was going to take place. I believe he knew in his bones that the Lord Jesus was coming and that He was going to be his Savior, and he trusted in Him. And he knew that he'd get to experience and see Him. And he says, "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation.'" Oh, what a wonderful sight that it was. I had waited for such a long time, and all for thousands of years the world had been waiting for the Messiah to come. It had been talked about, it had been preached about, it had been proclaimed about that he was coming. And finally Simeon came there and he said, "Mine eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord." The embodiment of salvation was found in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, because he had to come and die for you and my sins, he had to be put on a false trial like we heard about last night and be accused of sin that he didn't do. He had to be going to that place. Simeon waited, "which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of great age and had lived with the husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. We can see here that there was some folks that had been looking for the Redeemer of all mankind. They were looking for and waiting for the Lord. That's what we all need to do. We heard a little bit the other night about how that Moses was there at the Red Sea, and he told the children of Israel to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. How did they do that? They waited patiently on the Lord. They had to trust in God to be their Redeemer. The problem is we want to move forward without the Lord's Holy Spirit a lot of times. And we want to see great things happen, and I'm hungry to see lost souls saved. But sometimes we just need to sit back and say, Lord, it's all yours. I'll wait on you, and when you move, I'll move. It's just like he led the children of Israel there with the fire before them and that smoke and cloud, how that God led them. They didn't move until God moved them. And when God moves us, what a privilege it is to move. When God moves on the scene and he brings forth his Holy Spirit to direct us, it's important for us to wait upon the Lord, to trust in him. It's good for us to do that. I know sometimes it's hard to do. And sometimes doesn't it feel like the Lord just didn't listen? I know that's what it feels like sometimes in my life, where I've prayed the same prayer, it feels like thousands of times, that God would answer those prayers. I want you to know God is hearing your prayers. God hears our prayers, and he just wants us sometimes to just wait on him and just beg him to just come when you need to come, Lord. We know that the Lord will come in his time. There's a reason why God doesn't show up in the time span that he does. In Daniel, the 10th chapter, in the first verse, says, In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. The thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing, and had understanding of the vision. In those days, Daniel was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. I like how he says whole weeks. I wanted to make a statement there that it took a while for the Lord to show up. He couldn't understand what was going on. In verse 10 it says, And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, and unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I have come for thy words. You see, the Lord hears our prayers, even if he doesn't answer them the very first time, even if it's 21 days, even if it's 4 days, even if it's 4 years, even if it's the rest of our life. God hears our prayers, and he wants to hear our prayers. The Bible says his ear is even inclined to our prayers. He's listening for those prayers. And I want to praise God for not answering my prayers in my time tonight. I want to thank Him that He does things on His time that it might get me where I need to be. You know, we wanted children, and God, He allowed us to pray for 2 years. We thought we might not even have children, but God wanted us to pray and wanted us to wait. But I have no doubt in my bones that He heard our prayers from the very prayer we prayed, and He answered them in His time. You see, God knows our hearts, and He knows our prayers, and He knows where He's got to get us. Mount Calvary Church, no doubt, prayed for a pastor for quite some time. And finally, your prayers were answered. God hears our prayers. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. The Lord heard Daniel's prayer the very first day, but God wanted to make sure that Daniel was going to keep on praying, that he wasn't going to give up. Sometimes God wants to see us being diligent in our prayers. He wants to see if we're just going to give up and just forget all about it. If we are doing that for our country, if we're not going to keep praying for our country in the condition that we're in, how do we expect God to answer our prayers? We can't give up. For these that are lost, we don't need to just forget about them and quit praying for them just because they don't get saved in the time we want them to. We just need to keep pressing along and keep praying, because in God's time, He will send forth the rain in His due season. We've just got to go forth sowing in tears, and we'll doubtless someday, it may be generations from here, it may be my children's grandchildren, but someday the gospel, if the Lord allows time to go on, we'll continue on, and just maybe the Lord allowing one more revival to sweep across this land and across this world, that some, just a few, could hear the gospel and be saved. Let us keep praying. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, but just keep pressing on. Sometimes we've just got to wait on the Lord. You know the scriptures of Mary and Martha and their brother who fell sick. Lazarus was so sick, and he was sick unto death. The Lord knew exactly when Lazarus was going to die. The Lord knows exactly the trouble that you and I are in. He knows what kind of demons, what kind of battles that each one of us is facing. But a lot of times I feel like the Lord allows us to go through some things that we might reach out for a helping hand and stop trying to do the things on our own. Many times the children of Israel went up against armies that were greater than them, and many times they went up against armies that weren't greater than them, but the importance was that they were trusting in the Lord. Waiting and trusting upon the Lord for deliverance. Mary and Martha were urgent, and they were very urgent, and they were seeking out for the right one for their help, the great physician, the Lord Jesus. But Jesus, He tarried for 4 days, and He waited around, and He waited until it was too late. But was it? I fear that the condition of our country, it seems like sometimes it's too late, doesn't it? But when Jesus moves on the scene, it's not too late. He came in the 17th verse of John, the 11th chapter. Then when Jesus came, He found that He had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Jesus is still the resurrection and the life. There hadn't been a thing that's changed about that. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? He asked her. She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Saying the same thing that her sister was saying. You know what would each one of us say? Afraid to say, we'd be saying the same thing, wouldn't we? Trying to blame the Lord for Lazarus dying. When it's our time to go, it's our time to go. God sets the bounds of our habitation and that's it. He has allowed us a time and a place. And if God wants to heal or wants to save and wants to take care of things, He does as He sees fit. But all we need to do is wait and trust and rest until the arrival of some person or event happens. And that person is the Lord Jesus. And that's all we can do is wait on Him. That's all we know to do. I know that that seems like God's people are helpless. Well, we are without the Lord. We need to get back to realizing that we're still just as helpless as we were seeking the Lord for the salvation of our souls. If we want to be able to serve God effectively, we need to get back to feeling after Him, that He'd lead us and direct us into all truths, that He'd make the decisions for us in our lives, and that when He moves us to move, then we move. But otherwise, we wait on the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? We trust and we wait and we pray. We're not just doing nothing. We're praying, depending upon the Lord. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and the stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? We may not understand why the things are going on in our lives. We may not understand why that there are so many tombs in our lives of our loved ones that have died around us, those that are as good as dead around us that may not be serving the Lord the way they ought to be, and those that won't listen to the gospel. But you know what? When God says move away the stone, we need to listen to the Lord Jesus, and we need to get the stone out of the way, and we need to watch and let Him do His job. And whatever the stones are that are holding us back, Lord, help us to move them. We need to get them out of the way so that Jesus can do His part and not gripe, not complain, say, Lord, I don't want to do it. Lord, There's something sticking on the other side. There's just a bunch of dry bones on the other side. We don't need to dig up those bones. Well, sometimes we do. And so the Lord Jesus can come on the scene. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. He may not have said that exact word to me, but it was real similar to the night that he saved my soul. I was dead in trespasses and in sins. I was worse off than even Lazarus was in my sins, headed for a devil's hell. And God rolled away the stone that was hindering me from being able to be saved. He allowed every obstacle to be removed out of the way. And I just trusted and waited on the Lord and begged Him to have mercy on me. And He came by and said, Luke, come forth. And He brought me out of the grave of sin, and He established my going and set my feet on a solid rock. And you know what He does when He saves us? He sets us free from our sin. Oh, if you'll be free, you'll be free indeed. If the Son will make you free. And that's what He did here. He said, and he was dead. He that was dead came forth bound, hand and foot, with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, Let loose him. And let him go. And that's what God will do for you. If you've been saved, truly saved by God's grace. If you have a time and a place where Jesus rolled away the stone that was standing in your way. And He took away all the sin that was in your life. And He brought you to newness of life. And you became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. And He'll take away the bands of sin that are pulling you down to hell. And He'll set you free, and you can serve God in the way you need to. And it's good to have liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, freedom. Yes, we live in a country of so-called freedom, but many of our country haven't experienced the freedom that I have. And it's a good freedom. It's a freedom when I lay down my head at night that I'm free. I know where I'm going. Even if this world bounds me up and throws me in prison, my soul is free from what God has done for me. You know why? Because I waited for Him. Because I trusted. I patiently trusted and expected Him to save me, and that He was the only one that can do it. The Lord wants us to wait, to trust, and expect Him to come when we need Him the most. The psalmist David said, I waited patiently. I waited, or I expected patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me, and He heard my cry. While David was just waiting, again, he wasn't just sitting around. He was praying and begging God to pass by. If a revival is to break out at Mount Calvary Church or anywhere as far as that's concerned, it's we're going to have to be praying and begging and patiently waiting upon the Lord to pass by. And when He moves on the scene, that's when revival will happen, through and by Him. It takes the Spirit of God. I still believe in following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Where have we fallen away from that? In letting God lead and direct in our lives, He should guide us and direct us into all truth. He tells us in the Bible to live in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. That ain't easy to do, but He commands us to do it. We do that by praying without ceasing. Trusting in the Lord. Psalmist David said, He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. And thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. I want to stop there before I go any further. We want to just focus on that waiting on the Lord. I waited patiently on the Lord, for the Lord inclined his ear unto me and heard my cry. It doesn't stop when we get saved. Amen. Waiting and trusting, expecting the Lord doesn't stop when we get saved. It only starts. And I'm glad to know that each day that I live, I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm trusting in Him, because if I wasn't trusting and praying and begging Him to help me, then I couldn't make it. But I'm waiting on Him. I'm trusting in Him. Isaiah, some of my most favorite scriptures in the Bible. Isaiah, the 40th chapter and the 28th verse. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. He doesn't get tired. There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint and to them that have no might. He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait or expect, look for, hope upon the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Thank you, Lord, for providing us the strength we need to go on a little further. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time sometimes in this world because it's not my home. I spend a lot of days struggling with the cares and the troubles of this world, weighing down heavy upon me, because this world is just not my home place. I don't fit here anymore because God has saved me and this is not my home. I'm looking for a place that I'm going to go, and I am waiting and expecting that place. You see, not only do we expect and wait on the Lord, we get to wait on the Lord when we go to our final dwelling place. Even Job, he understood and knew that he was waiting for a lot better place. Tells us in the 13th verse of the 14th chapter of Job, says, "Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands." That's what I'm really waiting for. Yeah, I'm waiting for the Lord to guide my life and direct me in this world that I'm living in. But what I'm really waiting for is for the Lord to say, "Come on home, child. It's time to go home. It's time to live with me forevermore and to worship me in the manner that I designed you to worship, that I made your soul purified in the blood of my precious Son, Jesus." That's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for that call. That final call when He calls, and I will answer. I'll answer and I'll be able to experience the things that we've never experienced before. We'll be able to finally make it to our long home. We're expecting that. We're waiting for that, but we expect it and we know it to be true. We know it to be true. Romans, the 8th chapter and the 19th verse says, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We're just waiting to be brought home. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, you need to patiently wait upon the Lord, but pray that God would have mercy upon your soul. What this message really means is that you can't save yourself. Amen. No work that you can do can get you there. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't do anything to gain favor with God on your own. The only way to gain favor with God in heaven above is by, through, and by Jesus Christ. He is the one that is our mediator. He's our go-between. He's the one that takes those petitions, those prayers, brings them up before the Father in heaven above, and offers them up on our behalf. The Bible says He's even sitting at the right hand of the Father on high, making intercession for you and me. And He wants to make intercession for all of us. But let us wait and trust in Him. Let us stay or rest in expectation, to stop or remain stationary till the arrival of some person event, to look watchfully, to expect the Lord Jesus to come on the scene to save your soul. You've got to come expecting. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You've got to seek Him with a diligence, and know that if you get to the end of that prayer, know if you trust in Him with all of your heart, only Jesus can save you. And when He does that, He'll let you know it. And you'll be glad that you trusted in Him. Thank you for listening to us tonight. I hope and pray if you're here tonight and you're lost, that you'll seek the Lord. If God knocks on your heart, let you know you're lost, that you'd trust in Him, you'd pray. Again, we didn't mean waiting, just sitting around not doing anything. You need to seek after the Lord, if haply you might find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. Let's have a song. If you're here tonight and you're lost, please seek the Lord. Here tonight and you're saved, God's got something on your heart. You mind the Lord tonight. Please, everyone, just follow the Lord.